Good evening and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I am John Milford, chair of the club's Grown-Ups Forum and your host for today. We also welcome our listening audience and we invite everyone to listen online at commonwealthclub.org. Our program today is a good lit program, generously underwritten by the Bernard Osher Foundation. And now, it's my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Barbara Rose Brooker. Barbara is local to San Francisco and will be reading from her book, The Viagra Diaries. Barbara, welcome.
Thank you, John. Barbara won't be reading from her book, but aren't you just sick and tired of the way 60-plus people, and when I say 60-plus, I'm talking 60 to 120, because we're all living longer. But aren't you just tired of the way that we're packaged like perfume and the way we're seen in the media on television? All these people yelling, Viva Viagra. The men whispering, extends. The women looking all gaga at them. You know, like this is all we're supposed to do after we're 60, is play bingo, go on ARP cruises, and take Viagra. Which, by the way, this is all good. However, what about love? And what about intimacy? And what about feeling great about ourselves? And not hiding who we are and not hiding our age. Okay. Tonight, I'm going to play the part of Annie Applebaum. Annie is the 70-year-old heroine of my latest novel, The Viagra Diaries. She's a writer. She's been pursuing for years recognition in a difficult career, financial independence, and undying love. And that's not easy. So here comes the tango music. Tango music. Hello? Okay. The reason I want the tango music on is because in my dreams for the past 30 years, I have to confess, I've been dancing the tango. I'm wearing my tango shoes tonight. And these are the real thing. These are real tango shoes. And in my dreams, I dance the tango with this tall stranger. And we dance and we sway and we dip. And, you know, in real life, outside of my dream, I'm kind of klutzy. But in the dream, I'm dancing the tango like you wouldn't believe. And we're madly in love. I mean, I don't even want to wake up. However, it takes two to tango. This is the hard part. So, I write a column, since I'm Annie now, you know. I write a column, and it's called The Viagra Diaries. And it's researching men and women after 60. And what is love after 60? What is it in this Viagra generation? You know, is it different? So I write this column and I put an ad in. And the ad says, 70-year-old hottie. 70-year-old hottie wants love. And material. I'm looking for an exciting story, always, and someone to dance the tango with. Well, you would not believe, you would not believe I'm going to walk around here. The men, I got so many calls. Now, this ad went on the internet single site. I got so many calls, you wouldn't believe it. And so, you know, they all sent pictures of themselves 30 years ago. They were standing, holding up fish they caught on top of the mountains. They all had stories. So I sorted out the ones that seemed halfway normal. And I decided I would meet them one by one at Starbucks. That's where I go. I go to Starbucks after writing all day. I like to do my walk. And I go to Starbucks. And I have my iced Americana decaf, soy latte, lots of foam on top. And I sit in the back with my favorite hat. So that way, they can't see me. I see them. And I wear my tango shoes, too. And I watch them come in, one by one. They shuffle in. Some come in on motorcycles and are really, really cool. You know, they all have stories. They show me pictures of their dead wives in bathing suits 100 years ago. And they said, I was married to the most beautiful girl in Orange County. You know, and they all have stories. And what really strikes me is they all want to go to Niagara Falls. That's really the thing. They want to go. They don't want to do the tango or anything. They want to go to Niagara Falls. They also show me their little baggies filled with the medications and the whole thing. And they all want women. You got it. Guess how old? 30. So, you know, there I am, left telling my little stories and everything and doing the column. But let me tell you something. Okay. Is there any water? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just have to take a sip of water. Okay. Tonight, I am going out on a date with Marv Rustin. Okay, I met Marv. He answered my ad on jdate.com. And, you know, when he called, he sounded pretty cool. He didn't have as shaky a voice as a lot of the guys have. You know, he sounded pretty cool. And, you know, no Starbucks for Marv. We're going to meet at Harris's in the cocktail lounge at 6:30. And I'm ready. Do I look okay? Okay. You know, it's raining. It's a hair day. I have my white rose. I have my tango shoes. And I am ready to go. So I decided that I'm going to walk because I live right nearby. Okay. So I'm walking. And I'm imagining this salsa music going. Salsa music going. Anyway, I'm walking along in my tango shoes, and I'm really careful because of the potholes. There's potholes all over the city. It's unbelievable, and I'm so careful not to trip on a pothole like my friend Dusty tripped on a pothole and broke her hip dead. I mean, it was terrible. Last year, I fell on Broadway and Venice Avenue. Caught my tango heel in a pothole. I was spread all over. Couldn't help me. Not even a woman came over to help me. And my four teeth on the side fell out. However, I went to the best dentist in San Francisco, Dr. Bill Smith. That's what he did. Is that not great? Dr. Bill, you're here somewhere. Yes. So anyway, I'm walking along.
encore des amours de merveilleux. Seigneur Chaya Caruba.
So beautiful.
Luis Rodriguez, en el tren de Africano. Señor.
And there's like a slight mist in San Francisco. I love San Francisco. I love San Francisco. So I'm walking along. I don't have my, I have my contacts on, so I'm a little careful because I will confide. You know, I have a little cataract, a little glaucoma. But you know, so we all get things. We all get things, okay? So I'm in great shape. And I'm walking along, you know, to the salsa music. And I walk in the restaurant. It's dark. And there's all these CEO types there, you know, playing dice and everything. And walk towards the back. At a table, so I can watch the door as Mr. Ross comes in. It's early. I have abandonment issues. I've been with the shrink forever. It goes way back to when Seymour Alterman left me in high school, and then the father, and then the husband. You know, the whole bit. So I'm early, and I'm sitting there. And why not have a drink, right? Why shouldn't I have my martini? So I order my Stoli over ice, three green olives, my favorite drink. Now, my daughter Bonnie had called me earlier and said, Mom, don't have a second drink. You know how you get. You slur your words. My daughter Susie, who's here from L.A. tonight, called and said, Mom, be cool. This guy might be really good. The girls are dying for me, I think, to meet someone after all these years. So anyway, here I am, drinking my drink, feeling no pain whatsoever. Well, guess what? Do you hear the music? Here he comes. Oh my God, let me tell you. He's tall. He's slender. He kind of shuffles like he doesn't lift his feet. But he's handsome. He has white hair that's kind of puffed up, you know, like it was blown dry. And he's dressed very, very 40s. Very Cary Grant with the pinstripe suit and everything. Gorgeous. Gorgeous. Hi, I'm Annie, I say. He doesn't say a word, he just clicks a finger. And he says, another round for the lady, same for me. So, wow. So he sits down, and then we start our Q&A, you know. Were you married? How long were you married? How many divorces? Do you have kids? He has grandkids. My two daughters are married and have wonderful husbands, and they have animals. And I said, I am in love with Fred, Bonnie's 80-pound black lab. And Susie has Mr. Spock and Ida. They're beautiful Himalayan cats. And I'm just not a baby person. And I'm on my second drink, and I'm drinking, and I'm really feeling good, and we're talking, and he says, do you ski? I have a thing with balance, I say. Tennis? I don't see the ball from the side of my eye. Do you like sports? I hate sports. I hate all sports. Well, he loves sports. He starts talking about his world champion skiing and all his sports, baseball, football, basketball, you name it. And I'm on the nursing the second drink. I'm dying for a third, but I don't dare, you know. And I'm hearing the salsa music and everything. And then he says to me, wait, I really wished he'd talk about something else. To be perfectly honest, he's a bore. I'm not that interested in that type. He's real into image. Give me an earring and a ponytail and someone who quotes Rilke. He's talking about, you know, his sports and his cars and this and that and the other thing. And then he says to me, but God forbid I didn't tell you, I'm attracted to him. Chemistry set in. And no matter how old you are, when chemistry sets in, oh boy, you're 12. I mean, it changes everything. And so he says to me, I've never dated a 70-year-old woman before. And I said, whoop-de-doo, we're the new 50, haven't you heard? Are you a hottie, he says. That's for you to find out, I say. God forgive me, I'm doing my Betty Davis hand thing. I'm shaking the hair, you know, I'm showing the tango shoes, showing the knit stockings a bit. Oh my God, I'm thinking, and does he tango? So then he says, dinner? Oh, you wouldn't believe. Dinner, let me tell you. Dinner. Well, he ordered poached salmon, this puffed up, wonderful fish, and string beans thin as threads. And he's telling the same stories about the granddaughter, and I'm going, laughing like it's so funny because I'm attracted. Oh my God, chemistry, you know? I'm thinking, well, maybe he's one of those guys. He doesn't care that I'm 70-ish. So then I say, do you tango? Guess what he said? Let's go. Let's go tango. Okay. Here we are in the Mission District. And we're dancing the tango. And oh my God, can you hear the tango? A little louder, please. There you go. There you go. And there's lights like bubbles. And all these beautiful people, these couples are dancing the tango like you've never seen. They don't miss a beat. I mean, I'm not exactly dancing like I do in my dreams when I don't step on his feet and it's all perfect. I'm kind of like, but he's swaying and dipping and we're like one person. Oh my God, it was so gorgeous, you could die. I'm thinking, this is it. Okay. Wait, one second. One second for the good part. We're home now. The moon is just a little dot in the sky now. The rain is subsiding. He walks me to the door. I'm standing in front of the building at 1700 Broadway, and I'm fumbling with the key. Should I kiss him? It's the first date. I don't know what to do. It's been years. I had a wonderful time, I say. And he leans over and he kisses me passionately. I'll call you.
That was Mark Rothstein.
Okay. It's 2 weeks later. Okay. Okay, he called. But guess what? He called a week later. He called on a Monday at 4 o'clock to go out at 6 o'clock, bad boy boomer. Not good. I've had enough of the bad boy boomers. I went out with the boomer clean freak. He seemed terrific. He was a retired dentist. He talked about his homes in Dubai and in Sonoma and Paris and this and that and the other thing. And when I got a smudge on his black Jaguar, guess what? He started to cry. He cried and he cried and he took pictures of the smudge with his cell phone and said, "You cost my broker $2,000 tonight." Okay. So Marv called, but that's not good enough. The Monday night thing usually means they have somebody else. And he did talk about his ex-wife a lot. And that just wasn't good enough. So meanwhile, I'm concentrating on the column. And the column is starting to kind of, you know, get a little buzz, which is really kind of fun. And I'm going out with some more, you know, boomer freaks. The boomer cheapskate, that was the one. Oh, wait, one other thing. Marv, when he took me home that night, I decided to go on J-Date and read his profile. I was like so enthralled with the evening and really see what he was about. And you know, when you go on jdate.com, they give you the exact time that anyone is on. Well, guess what? Marv was on a half an hour after he took me home. Serial J-Dater, not good. So I did a whole column on serial J-Daters. But you know, still, when I dreamed, guess what else happened? I have to tell my shrink this. The faceless man that had been in the dream for years now has Marv's face. Okay. So all this is going on. And I don't know, I wasn't feeling so hot. You know, things happen when you get older. Or I don't like to use the word older. You know, it happens when you're young, when you're old. Old age has nothing to do with youth. But anyhow, I started feeling, I woke up one morning and the top of my head hurt. I couldn't touch my head. I couldn't move my neck. Bonnie and Gary had to take me to the emergency. And I'm suddenly thrown around with x-rays, degenerative arthritis in the head and the neck. Oh, my God. So now I'm wearing the big, big neck piece. You know, I can, for weeks, and going to physical therapy and rolling around on balls, and they stick me in these machines, they stretch your bones, and the whole thing. So my doctor told me that today I have to go for my bone density test. So I'm taking you to my bone density test right now. Oh, God. It's the afternoon. I'm at my bone density test. And the hospital is, you know, it's in the basement, you know, those like x-ray places, and it's drafty and it's cold. And I'm wearing this lousy little cotton gown with little ants on it. And I have my knee socks with my clogs, and my legs are pale and veiny. And it's not a good hair day. It's back in a ponytail, and I had the glasses, you know, the whole thing. So I'm sitting there, and would you believe, oh, you got it, next to me is my type. Einstein hair. He looks real intellectual. And he's reading the art. Oh, and he's got this smooth, you know, tan skin. And he looks like in his 70s, you know. And he's sitting there reading the New York Times art section. "Hi, I'm Annie." He folds the paper and he looks kind of irritated. You know, he goes like that. I said, "I love de Kooning. I love his calligraphic line. I love his paintings. Don't you?" "I'm Dr. Duke Edelman. I'm a surgeon." I said, "What kind of surgeon?" He says, "Well, I'm not a tree surgeon." He says, "I'm just, you know, a surgeon. And how long have you been waiting here? This is really annoying," he says. "I shouldn't even be here at a bone density. I'm 78 years old, and my doctor told me I have the bones of a 40-year-old. He says, "I'm a marathon runner. I run with Russian athletes who are 25 years old. They can't even keep up with me." I said, "Oh, that's wonderful. You must have such good bones." And he said, "Bones." I said, "Bones." And he says, "Bones are so important." "Yes, bones," I say. Then he starts telling me that he is an atheist. He's a vegan. And that the reason he has these bones is what he eats. And I had to hear everything, you know, that he eats. And, he's a Republican, but I won't get into that. So he just starts talking, you know, about all this stuff. And then he says to me, I start talking about my views, how I think the prisons should be shut down because they're not working. And I think that prostitution should be legalized and drugs, which I do. And he says, what are you, some kind of goddamn hippie? He says, no offense to you, Annie. He said, you seem like a nice woman. You look, how old are you? And I said, 70-ish. And he says, well, no offense. He says, the last woman I went out with who was your age, when I made love to her, her bones broke. Women your age have brittle bones. He said, they have humps in their back. They have cancer. They don't even tell you. And they're hippies. He said, you know, he said, that's why I stick with the younger ones. And then he says to me, say, do you own or rent? And I said, oh, you want to know if I have any money? I don't have any money. And so he picks up his paper. He starts to read his paper. No tango there. No tango there. So, okay. The next few weeks, I decided that I was going to start practicing the tango on YouTube. So I turn YouTube on at night and I'm sort of practicing, you know, waiting for the dream team, waiting for the... Meanwhile, I'm doing my column and I'm going out and researching more men, and I'm getting calls from all over the country. They all have stories, but they all want young, 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 young. Because, and don't misunderstand me, I love men. So this isn't against men. This is against all of us, because we're taught not to look our age, be our age, act our age. We're taught to be other people. And I find this just horrible. Okay. So anyway, I went out with the boomer clean freak. The boomer clean freak, let me tell you, he seemed really okay. He was very attractive. He's a major CEO, he said, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And a boomer cheapskate. I'm sorry. The boomer cheapskate. And so the boomer cheapskate picks me up, and he's dressed really elegantly, you know, real Wilkes Bashford, the whole thing. And it's a rainy night. And he says, we get to the restaurant before we go to the ballet, and he won't pay for the valet. He says, I don't need to support another family. I support enough families. And he starts telling me about his money and all the ex-wives and everything. So we drive around and around and around for hours and hours so he could find a parking place. Meanwhile, I'm in my markdown 4x Prada heels. Had the hair blown dry so it was real, you know, straight and everything. And he parks like, I don't know, miles away on a hill. And, you know, I'm walking along, my hair sticking out, all curly. And then we get to the restaurant. And, okay, one more thing. Here's the signs of a cheapskate. You know, he wants to split everything. Let's split this. Let's split that. Let's split that. I'm starving to death. You know? Then the waiter comes, and he's got the 2-for-1 card. He says, you see this? Everyone doesn't have this special one with the crest on it. It's a 2-for-1 card, Buster, you know? And then he didn't want to tip the waiter because the waiter wasn't that good, he said. So anyway, I'm getting all these stories, and I'm doing the column. My editor calls me. She says, you know, Annie, you need to tone all this down. We need to make your narrator younger. There's no market for 70. I said, but you're getting readers. Not enough readers. We want to win awards. We want to do this. She said, can't you do 61 or 59? And I said, but what difference does it make? It doesn't make it. Age is irrelevant to youth. It's all an inner thing. Who cares? And then I had a column, suddenly 60 for years at the San Francisco Marina Times. The same thing happened there. So I would not change. So there I am. So this editor decides that maybe I should go somewhere else because I'm not going to change it. I'm really sick of the numbers game. And so anyway, okay. I have a date, another date tonight, with a widower. Now, my mother always said widowers are wonderful because they've been married a long time and they'll be good to you. They don't know what it is to be alone. So this widower answered my ad on J-Date. And he sounded on the phone a little nervous, and I thought, well, he's been married like 40 years, 50 years, whatever. He said he was in his 60s, which means that he was 80, but it doesn't really matter. And so we decided we're going to meet in North Beach. And he said, I'll be wearing a light blue sweater, and I look a lot like Clint Eastwood. Okay. I arrive. And I'm standing in the doorway, and I'm looking around, and I'm wearing my usual jeans and boots. And stuff, and he's flirting. He's standing in the back flirting with the very pretty, very young blonde cocktail waitress. And he's flirting and flirting and flirting, and I'm, you know. So I walk up to him, and I go, hi, I'm Annie. I'm Annie Applebaum. So he tears himself away a little bit, and he said, oh, Annie, hi. He said, you look better in person than you did on J-Date. Up close, his tan looked spray on, let me tell you. The hair looked a little combed over. But anyhow, that's not what it's about, right? So anyway, we sit down, and I order my stoli real quick. And I have my green olives, and he orders like one scotch and soda after another. Like the guy has never had a drink or he's out of a cage or something. And I said, you know, you really better be careful. You better, and he's popping the nuts and he's drinking and he's telling me that he's a boat manufacturer and he rides the high seas and, you know, he's been over the rapids, and oh, my God, it's going on and on and on. So I'm thinking, when did your wife die, I ask. 3 days ago, he answers. Jeez, it didn't take you very long to get on J-Date, did it? Well, listen, babe, he says, and he starts his big rant about, you know, he's had 47 years of misery, and she spent his money, and she never let him out of the house, and he's going to have fun. And he says, I'm good to go. I've got a pocket full of Viagra. And he's going on and on and on, and I'm thinking, he might be a serial killer, for God's sakes. So I said, how did your wife die? He said, she was in the beauty parlor having extensions put in because she was kind of bald. And she tripped on a cord and died from complications. And then what's worse, he says she was a klutz. Now, this guy, this is not good. This is not good. So I said, you know, I'm really sorry. I think, he said, listen, he said, you seem like a nice lady. He said, you might even be kind of interesting. And when they say that word interesting, forget it, you know. And he says, but I'm looking for a woman. I want her to have a doorman. I want her to have lots of money, maybe a co-op, and I want her to look like Pamela Anderson. I felt like saying, dream on, I'm out of here. So I left that, no tango there. Okay, now I'm writing a series about widowers. Okay, I will tell you what happened after that. Nobody really, first of all, it's like 3 weeks later, and I'm thinking, nobody wants to be who they are. If they're 80, they want to be 40. If they're 60, they want to be 30. And, you know, it's just driving me crazy. And I think I march for gay rights. I march for same-sex marriage. I march for peace. I march and march and march. But I want to form a march in this country, in every single city in the world. And it's going to be the age march. And I want all the women, and the men are invited too, to wear their numbers around their neck, their real numbers, not their fake numbers, in protest of ageism. We have ageism everywhere. Everywhere. And we can still, if anything, the mask is off. We're going to be who we are. We're going to be real people. And this is one of my dreams. Okay, so I'll move on. So, this is what happened. The arthritis went away. But then I wasn't feeling so hot. I think it was July 4th. I was at my friend Judy Camp's beautiful house in Kenwood. And I was having a wonderful time. Things weren't going right. That's all I'll tell you. And I thought, I've never believed in doctors. I've never believed in Western medicine. You know, when the Buddha's on television, I touch him and I'm cured. You know, I really believe in the spiritual life. But I wasn't feeling so good. I hadn't been to the doctors. And I thought, oh, I better go because I'm feeling really great. I thought, geez, there's so much going on, and it's so much fun, and I'm starting to like myself after 50 years of therapy. And I thought, I'm going to go to the doctor. So I go to my gynecologist, Dr. Julie Ha. She's fabulous. Anyway, okay. 2 days later, I had a biopsy that day. And I think it was 3 mornings later, she calls. Her nurse calls and says, oh, Barbara, I want to see you. Dr. Julie wants to see you. Can you come in right away? And I'm thinking, oh, I'm in such great health. They just want to tell me, you know, maybe I should drink more green tea or something like that. So I go, and I arrive. And the nurse gravely walks me down the hall, you know. And I'm terrified of doctors, you know. I mean, ugh. And she walks me down the hall. And she's this beautiful, very young woman. And she's sitting behind this big desk, and her hands are folded. And she looks very grave. And she says, Barbara, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She said, it doesn't look good. You have uterine cancer. Are you sure? Cancer's not in my family. It can't be. No one has cancer in my family. And she is continuing to talk. I will refer you to the very best gynecological oncologist surgeons there are. I'm going to call Dr. John Chan. I'm going to call Dr. Shin. I will be in surgery with you. And I hear her talking about radiation, and I'm hearing all these words, and this can't be me. I'm watching this dot on the window like a sunlight, and I'm thinking I eat green vegetables every day. I walk 2 miles a day. I tango every night in my dreams. You know, I go to bed early except when I watch Mad Men on Sundays. I love Mad Men. But, you know, I take really good care of myself. This can't be me. I go down to the lobby, and I call my son-in-law, Gary, and I say, Gary, I whisper, guess what? I have uterine cancer. You're going to have to tell Bonnie. She'll be so upset. And Susie and Henry were in Mexico, and I don't want their vacation to be ruined. Susie works so hard, and so does Henry, and they're on a vacation. And Gary said, he always calms me. He's very direct, and he said, don't worry. Okay, I'm going to fast forward a little bit because it's all a dream now. This was 2 months ago. So, you know, the next thing I know, every minute I'm having exams. I'm in these doctors. Oh, I love Dr. Chan. Oh, my God, I loved him so much. You know, I kept hugging him and everything. And every minute with the exams, and then he's drawing pictures of cells. Gary and Bonnie are in there with me, and he's showing the angry cells and all this. And, oh, my God, I'm, like, dying. And it all sounded so grave. And I go home and I write my will, and I actually got it notarized. It's more than I did when I would have the kids with a babysitter. I worried about the kids, the whole thing. I worried about my manuscripts. I have new books I'm working on, half-filled drafts and things, and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to die, and they're going to come in and throw out all my work. And oh my God, I'm just like, so down, and I keep crying, and I get up at 2 a.m. and I write myself all these long letters about things and so forth and so on. And meanwhile, my children are so fabulous, you know. And so I went through the surgery, which all seems like a dream right now. And it was like 6 or 7 weeks ago. So here's the thing that I'm thinking about, and even the reason why I mention it, because I think that all of us, I mean, I could say anyone over 60, raise your hand, but I know you won't, because we're taught not to say our age. Things happen to all of us and to the body, and I realize something. It's not the body, it's the spirit that counts. I know it sounds corny and all that, but my friend Wendy Rich sent me a little book by Deepak Chopra that I love so much. And I decided life is like a book. It has a beginning and a middle and an end. A good novel has a structure. It has a beginning and a middle and an end. And the end is when it all happens. The end, you never know when you're going to step off the edge, when you're going to float away. But you have all this incredible reference, and you have all this fun ahead of you, and curiosity. And it's a time to live life to the absolute fullest. So I'm home today, and I'm sitting by my window. And it's raining. And I love the rain. I love the sound of the rain on the leaves. I love it. I'm feeling so good. And my friend John Torrey is a fabulous musician. And he arranges renditions to Bach's sonatas, and he plays classical guitar, which we're going to hear in a second. And he had given me a CD. And I thought, Bach is over 200 years old, and he's young. It's all about music. It's all about art. It's all about love. And we need to create our legacies and be who we are. Whether it's baking cakes or planting roses or making movies or writing books or, you know, whatever. And guess what I decided? Just listen to that a second. Isn't that beautiful? And I decided that I can dance the tango by myself. I don't really need... Oh, you want to know if Marv Rothstein called? Yeah, he left a couple more calls. He's up to Friday now. But I'm waiting for the Saturday. And meanwhile, who knows what can happen? You know, there's just so much hope. But we have ourselves, and I feel so close to myself, and I want to get that march going, and I'm listening to Bach, and somebody might come along and somebody might not, but listen, there's just so much going on. And I'm going to take tango lessons. I already have the place. I'm so glad I have the net stockings and the tango shoes and everything. And so what I want to say, I want to thank first of all, the Commonwealth Club, for having this program, this controversial subject. I want to give special thanks to Ricky Raffner, who has worked tirelessly getting my word out, getting my message out. I want to thank George Dobbins for having me. I want to give special thanks to John Milner, who has been very patient answering my emails. John, should I do this? Should I do that? To E.B. Stanislavski, who arranged the book signing for tonight. David Lerner, who, listen, let me tell you about David Lerner. He is the best sound mixer in L.A. When Tom Brokaw comes to L.A., they call David Lerner. And he drove up here tonight to mic me up. I've got all these coils and mics and everything. And John Torrey, the musician, my daughters, my beautiful daughters, my wonderful daughters, my wonderful daughter Susie Wave, because everyone hears about her and they don't get to see her. She works so hard. And Henry and Wendy and Ellen Rich, who are the best film producers in L.A., and I am very lucky that they love my project and I have them, and Patty Axelrod for introducing me to them. And Michelle Spitz, oh my God. I mean, and Kathy Lerner, who is a fabulous stand-up comic, and we are going to be doing some pieces on After 60 together. And all my friends who are here from Palm Springs, New Jersey. I don't know where you are, Jerry and Donald, but I know you're here somewhere. There they are. I can't, the light was in my eyes. You know, I love you all. I love you all. And don't forget that march. I'm serious about the march. Put your real numbers, because I know no one here is telling their real age. And my real age, I'm off Annie right now. My real age is 73. And I am proud of it. Okay. Thank you. I love you.
The Grown-Ups Forum is used to having speakers. That was truly a wonderful performance. Thank you so much. I am John Milford, a member of the club's Grown-Ups Forum, and I'll be moderating today's audience question period. Barbara, we have questions, I'm sure, so let's begin. Are there any written questions? Are there questions from the audience? Oh, here are written questions, and we can also pass the mic. We have the portable mic, we can pass the mic. All right. We'll read these unexpurgated questions. Thank you very much. What is it with women and all the dancing? What is it with women and all the dancing?
Well, I don't know quite how you mean that, but I just know that women need to dance. And, you know, even when I'm... Woo! You know, even when I'm home alone, I'm constantly doing the salsa and the dance. I was going to do it for you tonight, but I got a little nervous. Next time. We need to dance. We need to move. We need to feel. It's emotions.
All right. Any questions from the audience? We have a second question. Speaking of Viagra, a therapist friend of mine asserts that most men who take Viagra don't really need it. It's just that they're intimidated by today's feminist movement. Empowered women, and they feel they need it for survival. Your thoughts?
Is she saying that men don't need it? They just feel that they should have it to perform performance anxiety? Mm-hmm. Is that what she's talking about? Well, if you have men who don't need it, and they take it anyway, and you get a double whammy, great. If he has performance anxiety, I suggest a good shrink. However, addressing the subject seriously, I think Viagra is a wonderful thing. It's like the cure for polio, you know. But at the same time, I think a lot of men are, and it's sad for the men. I mean, I'm not just talking about the women who have to, you know, turn their clock back 100 years to think they get a man. But a lot of men are chewing it like candy because that's their way of not facing age, of thinking that they have to be young. And what about intimacy? You know, what about friendship and intimacy and all those wonderful things? Anyway, whomever asked the question, I hope you don't hate me. Where are you?
All right. With regard to your message, then, what do you think of plastic surgery?
I think it's great. I think it's great. I'm not here to judge anyone, and I hope I don't give that impression. God knows I could use a little right here and a little here. I mean, I think it's fabulous. We're living longer. We're looking better. But my point is, I choose not to have it. Everyone's different. It's a personal choice. It's a personal choice. What I object to is that we're forced to think we have to have it. I mean, I don't want to be the housewife of Orange County with her stupid-looking face and the huge lips, you know, living for her next Rolex watch. I really don't want that, and I think there's an enforcement of that. But I think it's wonderful.
Okay.
I mean, plastic surgery is wonderful.
All right. Barbara, someone in our audience asks, how is your health now? You look great.
Thank you.
Do you think that your wonderful attitude has been effective in your healing process?
Thank you for the compliment. I'm feeling fabulous. I really am. I'm going to be touring. I'm going to be doing book signings. I'm going to be taking this show on the road. I'm going to be doing a lot of things. And I feel great. And I do think attitude has a lot, like 80% to do with it. Yes. Thank you.
Barbara, do you think it's okay to have a sexless relationship? Can I answer that?
Well, I've been there, done that. And you have to read my novel if you want to find out the answer. Do I think it's okay? I think there's all kinds of relationships. And I think if two people are having great sex and they don't have anything else, well, you have my blessing, but I feel sorry for you. It doesn't really end up that great. And so my answer is I want it all. I want the whole thing. I want the weekends. I want to meet the parents. I want to meet the grandchildren. You know, I want the whole thing or don't call me.
Thank you. Barbara, this question is to the presentation you made. Is Marv Wallerstein hiding out?
Marv Rothstein?
Rothstein.
Well, I don't know who asked that question. But let me address one thing. As a writer, and I have published other novels and other books, and my life is my material and my observations and my insights. So I look at people I'm involved with, sometimes not involved with, and I make composites. You know, I make composites, and I put them together into a character. So you're asking me if there's a real Marv Rothstein? Anybody I write about becomes fiction.
We would like to remind our listening audience that this is a program with the Commonwealth Club of California, and you're listening to the Viagra Diaries with author Barbara Rose Brooker.
I think it's a very good question. And I'm interpreting is Viagra also good? I see Viagra as a side thing. The spiritual growth is autonomous. It's something we're in pursuit of. If the man feels that Viagra will help him have a happier sexual life, then it's going to add to the spiritual growth, of course. You know, why not? If it doesn't, that's fine too. It's so a personal choice. And it's available. It's available. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Sort of. It's a big question, though. It's a big sociological question right now. Yeah, the Viagra generation, you know, is it deterring intimacy? Well, I say that goes hand in hand with the age thing. I mean, every man that I've met has lied about their age. And I will tell you, I lied about my age. The last man I went out with, I said I was 67. And I just, as I said, had a 73rd birthday. And this was only a while back. So, you know, when I went through the cancer and so forth and all these great things are happening to me with my career and everything, I thought, why are you lying? You're so lucky to be here. And the face of age is not ugly. It's wonderful. I mean, all we see on television, and excuse me, Susie, my daughter is big deal in television, is you see so much of those housewives and the bling, 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 and the this and the that and the this, and you don't really get people. You don't really hear people. Don't get me started.
Barbara, would you focus in on your true message for women who feel hopeless about finding love?
I can answer that because I'm one of you. Seriously. And when I'm not hopeless about finding love, but it's something that's not in my being. And I want to say that but this is what I feel now, and it's given me enormous hope. And it's going to sound a little corny and Pollyannish, I'm sorry. But know who you are. Know who you are inside. Know who you are and love yourself. And be yourself. Really like yourself. And like your life. And do things that you love. If you want to go to museums and you want to just take walks and you want to ride bikes or you want to go to the dog, whatever, live your life because that's when you're going to meet them. And so I'm going to take tango lessons, I decided.
Our thanks to Barbara Rose Brooker, author of the Viagra Diaries, for her performance tonight. We also thank our audience here as well as those in the listening audience. And now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California, commemorating its 106th year of enlightened discussion, is adjourned.